Hello, everyone. This is Stephen McGarvey for LifeAudio.com. Our highest priority at Life Audio is to create content that helps Christians find practical ways to apply their faith to all the challenges of life. And right now, it seems like there's no greater challenge we all face than the coronavirus global pandemic. In an effort to quickly respond to what could be the most critical issue of our time, we've partnered with pastor and author Daniel Darling to create this new podcast, Christians in a Time of Coronavirus. Dan is the Vice President of Communications at the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission. And here he takes a look at the host of issues and problems created for us by this pandemic and how Christians can face them with courage and a hope for our future. While the national outlook seems bleak, we know that Christians can be a source of light in a time of darkness. We hope that this podcast can be a light for you and that you find it insightful and encouraging.
Welcome back to another edition of Christians in the Time of Coronavirus. This is Dan Darling, author, pastor, and VP of Communications at the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission. I hope you're enjoying this time together as we read from the scriptures, trying to get our mindset and kind of frame our thinking as we face a period of uncertainty and doubt and difficulty. Today I want to read another passage from the New Testament from one of my favorite books of the Bible is 1 Peter. I've pastored at a few different places, and I've gotten to preach through 1 Peter a number of times, and I've gotten pretty acquainted with this book, and it's just, to me, one of the most precious books, particularly for Christians who are trying to live out their faith in uncertain times. Sometimes times of hostility, times of suffering, times of hardship. You know, I don't know that American Christians were really that calibrated for that, because we have always had times of pretty good prosperity we've had it pretty good here, with obviously exception, and people go through hardships and trials, but we have not faced the kind of level of persecution and danger that many of our Christian brothers and sisters have faced overseas. So I want to read here 1 Peter chapter 1, really 3 through maybe 8 or 9. You could really read this whole section, but this part, Peter really frames the beginning part of his book with who we are in Christ. And he's talking again to Christians who had not yet faced the level of persecution that would come in the Roman Empire. But they're starting to be ostracized from their communities, losing social relationships, losing jobs and family. They're really paying a price for being a Christian. And it was taking a toll on them. And Peter wanted to write some encouragement. So he starts by reminding them just who they are in Christ, that this movement of people who believe in this risen rabbi from Nazareth, who they believe is the Son of God, it was kind of seen as a crazy movement. He wanted to remind them, this is all God's plan. Everything that's happening to you and what is going on is part of God's plan, that you are His, you're chosen, you're secure. You didn't make the wrong move by following Jesus. And so let's start verse 3 from chapter 1. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. You're being guarded by God's power through faith for a salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. You rejoice in this, even though now for a short time, if necessary, you suffer grief in various trials, so that the proven character of your faith, more valuable than gold, which, though perishable, is refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. Though not seeing Him now, you believe in Him, and you rejoice with inexpressible and glorious joy, because you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls." There's just so much wonderful, powerful spiritual truth packed in here. He's saying, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. He's saying, first of all, it's God's great mercy that we have been given a new birth, that we have been born again. We have been raised from death to life as Christians, that, as Paul writes in Ephesians, that we have been quickened. We've been made alive. This is all God's mercy, that God doesn't owe us salvation. It's His mercy that He saves us. Because of His character, He's a rescuing, merciful God. He has given us new birth, that we are a new creature. We're new people. We're His new creation people. And we have a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And really, it comes down to this. Has Jesus risen from the dead? If He has risen from the dead, then our hope is alive. Now we're approaching Easter, and most every other year, this is an exciting time in church as we're ramping up toward Easter. We're getting the decorations out, we're planning, we're inviting family and friends, we're making sure our wives and daughters have new beautiful dresses to wear, we're the first signs of spring are coming. The shoots, the flowers are shooting up. It's a hopeful time that something new is coming. And as we celebrate, as we walk through this season where we celebrate, we mourn at the crucifixion of Jesus, and then we celebrate His resurrection. Now, of course, now we're in a very uncertain time in the United States and around the world. We don't even know if we're going to be able to worship on Easter. Probably not. Although that, the president and others have said that they would love for that to be the case. I think all of us would love for that to be the case. How we miss gathering with our brothers and sisters in church and worship. And this may be an Easter where we can't do it. And it's going to be painful and hard. But here's the thing. If Jesus rose from the dead, though we'd love to be gathering and worshiping, and it's going to hurt and be painful to do it online or however else we celebrate, it's still true. Jesus is still risen from the dead. And the fact that Jesus has risen from the dead gives us hope in a time of coronavirus, because He has conquered all things. He's defeated the sin and death that worms its way through our world through the form of viruses. And so we know really what the end will be. We don't know how long we're going to be in this situation. When is this going to be over? We don't know. But we do know when it is going to be over, because Jesus has defeated this, and He's coming back to fully renew and restore His kingdom. And that's what we celebrate. So we have a lively hope. It says we have an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. We have something awaiting us that can't be destroyed. It can't be corrupted by viruses. It can't be taken away from us. It's not fading. So many things today, they fade, right? Faded glory. The things we have break down. The accomplishments we have fade. What we did 20 years ago, no one cares about today. What we have in Christ is unfading, and it's kept in heaven. I love this phrase, kept in heaven for you. That's personal. So it's not just this nebulous thing, salvation, a home in heaven, an inheritance, being in Christ. No, this is for you. I love the personality that God in Christ did this for you. If you have repented of your sins and put your faith in Christ, if you are a Christian, and it says you are being guarded by God's power through faith for a salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. You're being guarded by God's power. It doesn't feel like it. Sometimes we feel very weak and powerless, but you're being guarded. You're being guarded by God's power and preserved for our future with God in the New Jerusalem. What a great promise that no matter what happens to us here, no matter how hard this season gets, you have a future with God that is being guarded for you. You have salvation that is rock solid. Not a lot of things we can count on today. We can't always count on our elected officials. We can't count on the stock market for sure. We can't even count on the U.S. government. We can't count on the doctors and the scientists all the time, although we trust them, and especially during this season. Can't count on the media. Can't count on our friends all the time. They'll let us down. Can't count on our future. Can't count on the fact that the job might not be there, that might be there. But we can count on that we have an inheritance guarded in heaven awaiting us. What a great promise that is. And so this is just important, I think, for us to meditate on as we endure this time of uncertainty, as we look around and just wonder what's going on in the world. It says, rejoice in this. What should we rejoice in? Rejoice in our inheritance that awaits, awaiting in heaven for us, but also rejoice in this, even though now for a short time, if necessary, you should suffer grief in various trials, or as some translations say, trials of various kinds, so that the proven character of your faith, more perishable, more valuable than gold, which is perishable, is refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor at the revelation of Christ. He is saying the trials you're going through, and that could be trials of various sorts and kinds, could be a pandemic, could be the loss of a job, could be persecution, could be the death of a loved one. These trials, he says, for a short time. Now, it may not see a short time. I'm very impatient. I don't know about you, but this shutdown and this virus, coronavirus ongoing, doesn't seem like a short time at all to me. It seems like a long time. But in the scope of eternity, it's a short time. And he says we can endure that because, and we can suffer grief in various trials, so that the proven character of your faith, more valuable than gold, is refined by fire. So he's saying that the most important thing in this season of trial that we're enduring, whatever it is you're enduring, the most important thing is not your money, your health, the sense of normalcy that we crave. The most important thing is the character that we exhibit. What God wants to do in us is more important than anything else. And man, that is super convicting to me. I've often thought of to myself, my grandkids ask me in 25, 30 years, what was it like to go through the great pandemic of 2020 when the world was shut down, as they're reading in their history books? And grandpa, what was that like? Can we say to them, these were hard times, difficult times. People around us were suffering. We suffered. But we leaned in on faith. We leaned in on the Word of God. We looked for the hope of the resurrection. We still knew, and despite everything around us, that Jesus is true and that He has risen from the dead. And that got us through it. Wouldn't that be a great legacy to look back on? Let's hope that's our legacy, because this is what awaits us. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. Though not seeing Him now, you believe in Him. And you rejoice with inexpressible and glorious joy because you're receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Jesus is more infinitely better than jobs, status, normalcy, even things that are good and important and vital, like being able to go to church or being able to be with our friends. Jesus is better than all those things. Man, I hope this encouraged you today. And thank you for listening to another edition of Christians in the Time of Coronavirus.
This is my skyship, Dreamer. My cargo is stories, and our destination, dreams.
With Abide Sleep Stories for Kids, you can help your children fall asleep fast and learn about God. To find these kids' bedtime stories, go to lifeaudio.com or search your favorite podcast app for Abide Stories for Kids. You can also download the Abide app for more biblical meditations at abide.com.